Habakkuk chapter 3, 16 to 19, and goes like this. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the oil crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Now that's a pretty big shift from him before, when he's complaining about pretty much everything that God is doing. He's complaining to God, saying, you know, I don't understand why you allow the unrighteous to continue to do what they're doing. And I can't believe that you're going to allow this nation to come and take us over and put us through all sorts of trouble. And so even amongst all this loss that he's going to be experiencing and has experienced, he's learned throughout this chapter that he can trust, that this prophet can trust in God, and that trust, with that trust, comes a great joy through his trial, through the trial that's coming. Not in the circumstances, though. It's not the joy in the circumstances. It's the joy knowing that we can trust God. How many times have you been through some type of trial and you have joy that God's going to walk you through it? It's difficult. And as followers of Jesus, we need to get to a point in our relationship with God where we can express authentic worship to him in any season that we go through, in any trial, in any difficulty, in anything that we are walking through darkness, through pain, that we can rejoice. And we can do that by prayer, we can do that by having an attitude of thanksgiving and rejoicing in him. We follow the prophet through this journey where his prayers are real. They're earnest. They are so raw. They're so emotional. He's not holding anything back. He's the kind of guy that believes that God is a God big enough to handle us at our worst. When we're frustrated, when we're struggling, when we want to just unload the truck on God, he gives us this example of a man who does that. And I'm pretty sure God has big shoulders and he can do that. And yet in the end of this, we see the story changes. He says, and I don't know if you notice this, he says, yet I will rejoice. Remember that part. Remember that part in Scripture that we read in verse 18. He said, yet I will rejoice and I will be joyful. Remember, if you don't know what's happening here, God has told them, I'm going to give you and everyone in Israel to the Babylonians. This is not a fun time, people. Many will die. Many will be tortured. And this prophet is saying, I know this is coming, but I will rejoice and trust you. How many times have you been able to put that type of trust in God? Well, I'm hopefully going to help you figure that out today. The prophet finally comes to the place where he can worship God, and it's not because of his circumstances. Things that happen in our life on a daily basis, at work, at school, wherever we are, out there just about, those things impact us. And a lot of times our circumstances will determine how we feel and how we act. And we sometimes can't get past it. Have you ever been in a relationship? Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband. And the circumstances, you react a certain way when they're negative towards you, you lash out. Our circumstances, how we're feeling. If I'm stressed and I come home, Michelle knows. She knows. It's my fault, but she knows. My circumstances, it have nothing to do with her. Can I take it out on her? Of course not. Why would I ever do? Yes! And then I recognize, hey, you know what? And we do that in our relationships, whether it's our spouse, whether it's friends. Have you ever had a friend that you walked up to and you're like, hey, how's it going? And they just attack you. They just rip a new one into you. And you're like, hey, whoa. All right. Touchy. You didn't do anything. In fact, you just arrived on scene. You don't know what's happening. How you doing? It's way easier to worship God in circumstances where everything's happy and joyful and everyone's thrilled to be there. Do you know that in church, when everybody's happy and they're worshiping, oh, it's great, I can worship God, oh, it's so great. Then you get out on the street and someone cuts you off and you're like, hey, what are you doing? It just changes in an instant. But Habakkuk has come to this point in his life where he is going to be able, even if trials come, even if struggles, problems, and when I say trials and distress, I'm talking about issues, like real hard life issues. But that doesn't mean it has to just be that. Other things, little things bombard us daily, and those become our circumstances and how we reach out. And if we lose focus on a relationship with God, if we lose focus on why we're here, this is the key to everything. Why are you here? And if you think it's because of you, if you think it's because God wants to bless the Almighty you, that's where you're struggling and you're going to have a problem. Because as we've seen throughout Scripture, God uses whoever he wants, and usually it's who we don't think. And it's usually not the way we think they should use them. Have you ever been reading Scripture and saying, God, why wouldn't you just deal with that? Jesus himself on the cross, and God's like, you got to do this. God the Father, you got to do this. If anyone could have done anything about his circumstance and situation, it would have been Jesus on the cross. He could have summoned thousands of angels, but he didn't. And so when we're here going through trials and struggles and we focus on ourselves and we don't realize the bigger picture of what God has, we get mad at God. And then what happens? Our relationship with him dwindles. It stops. We decide, you know what, God, I'm not speaking to you today. And he's like, what? What'd I do? And then when we stop praying, you know, when people are going through serious struggles and problems and they're mad at God, one of the ways you can find out where they're at and where you're at is how much time have you spent in his word? When have you cracked this open? If you're struggling with a whole bunch of things, again, this is a general statement, but if you were struggling through your relationship with God and you're like, I don't know why I'm not growing in my relationship with Jesus, have you looked at this? Well, I watch some preachers on TV and I get some podcasts and no. Have you sat down and read the Bible? Have you read about him? Have you looked at what his character's like? Because every time you start to drift away from God, I can promise you it's because you left his word. So if you're going through a struggle right now with your relationship with God, check yourself. Or as the cool kids say, check yourself. I don't know if they do that anymore. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. I have to check with Paige all the time. I don't know. I don't know what they're saying. But this prophet said, is like ready to rejoice, knowing it's coming. He got the heads up. He got the heads up. Well, I tell you, God's already given you the heads up. And we're going to get to that in a minute. When we look at what Paul went through in the New Testament, he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, you guys sound so rejoiceful. When I say that, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, you know what you sounded like? Can I tell you this right now? You sound like, rejoice. That's what I heard. You're like, but I'm joyful. I'm so rejoicing right now. Thank you, God, for everything you're doing in my life, I guess. I don't know. The reality is, my friends, that life can be brutal. And Jesus already said this. And then we go, when you're going through a struggle and you say, God, why me? There's a couple problems here. One is you're asking the wrong questions. You're saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? John 16:33 said, I've said these things to you that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, But take heart, I have overcome the world. Forget, I have overcome the world. Another version is, in this world you will have troubles, problems, tribulations is problems, it's issues, it's stuff that you don't want, that's being done to you or circumstances you can't control. In addition to that, Jesus said this, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about for itself. Sufficient for the day is it has its own trouble. Listen to this. Do not be anxious. We've come, and you know what? You can Google this all day long, you're going to find the stats. I'm telling you right now, there are generations coming, and some of us have been part of that as well, where anxiety is attached to adversity. I've mentioned this before. Adversity is just troubles. In this world, you will have troubles. You will have adversity. Now, there's all sorts of levels of different adversity. There's all sorts of issues you will have out there, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's financial issues, whether it's God issues, whether it's whatever, attitude issues, you're going to have trouble. But what happens is, somehow we've lost the ability to go through adversity. Have you seen this? We've lost it, and it's creeping into all generations. When something goes wrong, it's catastrophized beyond belief. You know, and the only thing I can think of as I was looking at this that is, you know, that would relate to maybe teenagers is, my boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with me, and I'm in grade 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever. That is not adversity. Yes, it's a thing, and yes, their feelings are real. Don't let me take that away from anyone who's in those grades. But that is part of growing up. That is part of learning how to find the right one for you, the right person that fits with your personality. And you know, if you really want to get spiritual on this, the one that God has chosen, the one that God has chosen, you for them and them for you. Listen, relationships, you'll go through adversity. Try living with the opposite sex. It's difficult. You put a man and a woman, totally different people, totally different thoughts, totally different personalities. You put a type A personality with a not type A personality, and what happens? The type A is type A and all over the place. Adversity. You grow. And through those trials, when you go through these struggles and these problems and these things, you learn. This is the secret to whatever stage of life you are in. When you are going through adversity, when you are going through troubles, you will have anxiety. You're going to have it. It happens. Now, some older generations used to turn to, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, you know, you name it, drugs, just all those things. And it doesn't mean that those are the good old days kind of stuff that you turn to when you're trying to cope with things and deal with stuff. And that's okay. You know, people struggle with that. You know what? We know lots of people that are struggling with that, and that's fine. We walk through with them. We help them. That's not a judgment call. But these are things. But now when they go through adversity, they quit. They give up. They don't strive forward. They don't learn anything. The secret to moving forward, to growing, is to walk through the adversity. Learn from that struggle through the adversity with the anxiety. It's okay to be anxious. There's nothing wrong with it. Letting it control you is a bigger issue. Letting any emotion, whether it's a good emotion, love, control you, that's not good. If it's weird, if it's like, a little much. Anything. It's okay to be anxious. How many get nervous when they write a test? Yeah, it's because you didn't study hard enough. Anyways, next. It's okay to be anxious. People get test anxiety. And what do they say? I just can't do this. I can't do this. No, you can do this. You can. You work your way through it. No matter what you are going through, walk through it. Walk through that anxiety. My mom passed away, I don't know, 4 years ago. I can't remember how long. And I tell you right now, that's stress. when someone close to you passes, that is stress. But you have to walk through it. I spoke at her funeral. I ran her funeral. I sang songs. I preached at her funeral. When she passed, I was there with her as she passed. And then I helped with my buddy Jonathan Chapman, who's a fantastic funeral guy, by the way. And I helped take care of my mom's body with him. I didn't want to, but I did it because I felt I had to. Because I would do that with anybody else out there. If I was on scene at an accident, I would be with them all the way through. I've helped people in our church. They're not here now before, but their mother passed away, and I helped her breathe and ease her into eternity all the way to the hospital. Do you want to do that? No. I get to do that. And this is not bragging, so please don't think it's that. But I'm telling you, these are situations. You've got your own situations that you walk through. The things that are hard for you, that you struggle through. And if you quit, you will not grow. You will not grow as a person. Now let's take that over to our relationship with God. If you go through struggles and trials, and I'm way off, so you're just going to have to go with it, man. If you struggle with your relationship with God and you aren't in the Word because you can't handle it, you need to get back into it. You need to get back into it because it's hard. You need to get back into it. Habakkuk has been told by God, you are going to suffer like nobody else. You're going to have a hard time. These Babylonians are bad dudes and some bad ladies in there as well. You're going to have struggle and you're going to have to go through it. And you know what? You're going to have to realize that's my plan. God is saying, I'm doing this. And it's going to happen. And when you come out the other end, you're going to be better for it. Who wants that? Who wants to go through a horrible time? I'm saying, you know what? You're going to go through this. All throughout scriptures, there are people who went through adversity and they were anxious. Moses could barely speak. God's like, whatever, you're gonna. And that's just one of many. Becoming a follower of Jesus does not exempt us from trials, from sufferings, from problems, from struggles. And being a child of God does not make us immune from the experiences of life. A lot of people, I mean, back in the day, they used to say, oh man, if you believe in Jesus, all of a sudden everything's going to be better. You know, everything's going to taste better, look better, seem like sunshine, puppies, rainbows, and unicorns. No, I'm not saying that's what it is. But you can have hope and rejoice in the fact that God has a plan for you. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the universe, wants to have a relationship with you. That's pretty massive. We must always believe in God more than we believe in the miracles that he can do. We like to see things. We like physical proof. And we need to recognize that it doesn't matter what he does. He is who he is. And no matter what's going on in the world around us, there is a plan. You see, there were these three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king and he wanted them to bow to his idols. And they wouldn't do it. And I want to read this scripture to you. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, that is probably the most important part of this scripture. Be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So even if you do this and throw us in there and he doesn't save us, he doesn't bring us out, we will not serve another God. We will not deny him, even to death. But if not, how many times when you've been going through something, you ask God, get me out of this. But if you don't, I will still serve you. That doesn't, usually it's, hey God, you get me out of this, and man, I'll go to Africa for you. I'll go to the jungles, I'll serve you, I'll give up my firstborn, make all sorts of deals with God. But do you make the deal where you say, God, I would really like you to help me with a situation, but if you don't, I'm still going to serve you? Can you? Do you have a relationship with the Almighty where you can do this? I tell you, if you're in the Word, you will. But if it's on your own strength, you won't. You see, there's these three men were confident that God was able to do it. But it was God's choice. And you know, they declared that he could rescue them, but they also declared that if God chose not to rescue them, no matter what their circumstances are, it's amazing. And as a church, we need to be careful. It's okay to talk about the good things. It's okay to talk about the wins along the way in life and how people have experienced miracles from God in their life, in their circumstances that are life-changing, in their ability to overcome all sorts of circumstances and situations and difficult times. But we must also tell the stories of those who had incredible faith even when God didn't help them or save them. Because that's where reality hits. That's where reality hits. When we go through hard times, Paul gives us three great principles really quickly that we can abide in every day. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. And so what does this scripture say? What we can pull out of it? Well, first, we can, like Habakkuk, choose to rejoice in who God is despite what's going on in our life. No matter what's going on in your life, choose to accept and rejoice and have trust in who God is. Secondly, you can pray and pour out your soul, your heart, your everything to Him. You can be honest with Him. If you're mad, tell Him. He already knows, by the way. Don't think you can pretend. He knows your thoughts. He knows how you're feeling. But tell Him. Because when you say it, it makes a real big difference in you. Sometimes when you verbalize something, you realize, oh, maybe that's not. Or you just let it fly. God's got big shoulders. I remember as a little kid going through all sorts of stuff when my parents were getting divorced and all that. I was mad at God. I would punch the wall at God. I was mad. He didn't smite me. And you know, at times I could be downright disrespectful to Him and then realize that wasn't a good idea. But He was big enough that He could handle it. And so pour out your heart and soul to Him. And thirdly, we really need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude for everything. We are very lucky where we live. No matter what your situation is, you are very, very lucky. There are people dying all over the place because they can't come to church, because they can't believe certain things. All because of a belief in God. And so, in this book, we see that the prophet at the beginning interrogates God. Have you ever interrogated God? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me and other people? And what's going on? He's doing that at the beginning of this first few chapters. And then in the end, it leads into an intercession of prayer to Him. Of, you know what? I'm going to choose to rejoice. And you know what? We need to recognize that worry can be transformed into worship. Fear can be transformed into faith. terror can be can become trust. Hang-ups can be resolved with some hope. And the times that we feel like all is caving in, and we can turn that into adoration. How can we worship God? And how can we make it through difficult times when God is silent? We can choose to rejoice. Do you know that throughout all these scriptures that I've mentioned to you today, yet I will. They're making a choice. You can choose. You can choose to not get to know him, or you can choose to get to know him. It's your choice. He's already paid. He's already done the ultimate sacrifice. He's already done it. Died on the cross, raised, rose from the dead. What are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to rejoice no matter what you're going through? And that's not a weird rejoice. That's like a crazy laughter because you're going through hard times. It's recognizing who he is in those hard times. Are you going to choose to be honest with God in your prayers to him? Instead of just kind of throwing prayers out there and whipping them on the wall to see if they stick, see which one he picks. And are you going to choose to have a good attitude and be thankful for what God has blessed you with? God is waiting for you to choose him, because you know what I'm telling you right now? He's already chosen us. He's waiting. And it's up to you. When you decide to choose to get into a relationship with someone or do something, you are choosing, you are deciding to invest in something or someone. That means you actually do something about it. You make a choice. You don't just sit down and do nothing. You have to actively work on your relationship if you choose to follow God. And that means prayer, that means in the Word, it means loving others, and it means taking your self-ego and setting it aside. Because it's not about us. It's about the bigger picture. Don't allow your circumstances to impact how you view God. Don't let them. Because society does a really good job of trying to manipulate your circumstances, make you feel unhappy with what you have, how you look, what clothes you buy. Culture does this. And I'm not saying those are bad things in and of themselves, but if you focus on just that, that's not your worth. Your worth isn't what you wear, how you look, the makeup you have, the cologne you wear, the jeans you have, how great your hair is, that kind of stuff. It's not about that. Your worth is who you are in Jesus Christ. You were adopted into the family of God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the creator of the universe. And he loves you, and he wants to use you, and he wants you to do things that you can't possibly imagine right now that you could do. Don't let your circumstances impact your view on him. And when he's silent, tell him he's being silent and find him. Make him speak to you by getting into his word. And then, listen.